Chapter 1. I'd never given much thought to how the world would end, but even in my wildest dreams I never would have imagined it would look like this. The demon Azraneath had been successful in its plan to reach across space and grab hold of our planet with its massive tentacles. As I stared up at the blood-red sky, I ignored the scent of sulfur invading my nose and instead focused on the moon. The glowing orb shifted from a blazing ruby shade to an even darker maroon before my eyes, and the shadows of the enormous tentacles fell upon the world like a heavy veil. A pit grew in my stomach, and for a moment I was worried I was going to retch all over the lawn, but instead I sank to my knees in complete shock. The situation was grim, but I feared what was yet to come. I'd only been outside for a minute or two, and already I could feel a dry chill in the air, so I knew there was a strong chance things were going to get even worse. I wrapped my arms around myself, but it did nothing to stave away the cold. "What the fuck am I going to do?" I whispered as I shook my head back and forth. The red of the moon was practically blinding my retinas, but I couldn't even avert my gaze. I was hypnotized, frozen by the harsh reality of the situation, and as much as I wanted to move, my body was paralyzed along with my mind.
"Griff,"
I heard the voice of my wife Arwen behind me.
"Griff, come back inside."
The sound of footsteps crunched on the scorched, blackened earth filled my ears, but my eyes remained fixed on the long, inky black tentacles that stretched tautly over the sky like threads on a loom.
"How could this have happened?"
I whispered, though I already knew the answer. Not too long ago, we'd discovered a history book in a secret dungeon in the Shadowscape that had detailed the demon's arrival and the subsequent events that followed. Thousands upon thousands of years ago, Azraneath, atop an asteroid, had slammed into the planet, and the impact was so severe, a piece of the world broke off and became the new moon. Early humankind had seen the asteroid and created a new dimension to escape, and this new dimension became the human realm we inhabit at present. The original dimension they'd abandoned later became the Shadowscape, thanks to Azraneath. The demon filled the Shadowscape with gas and toxins, and over time had made the dimension shift into the wasteland we know today. A war waged between the demon and the early mages, and after it was defeated, the demon went into hibernation, where it remained for thousands upon thousands of years. However, Azraneath finally awoke from its slumber not long ago, and when it did, it shifted the color of the moon and plunged our world into a hellscape.
"Griff,"
Arwen prompted me again in a softened tone, and I turned around to see the healer mage had crouched down to join me. I'd been so hyper-focused on my own introspection that I hadn't even heard her movement, and when I looked into her eyes, I could see my concern reflected in her amber irises.
"Arwen,"
I whispered, and her name on my tongue lulled me out of my daze.
"I can't believe this."
"I know,"
she replied, and then she wrapped her hand around my arm.
"I wish I had the right words to say, but they escape me. This is awful, Griff."
"I know. I thought we'd be able to defeat the demon before this happened, or at least get close,"
I admitted to my wife.
"I wasn't expecting all of this so quickly."
"We knew it would happen sooner or later,"
she reminded me in a gentle tone.
"We may not have known the precise time frame, but the demon extending its tentacles was inevitable."
"I know,"
I sighed. Arwen opened her mouth to say something, but suddenly, we heard the familiar sound of the front door slamming. When Arwen and I turned around once more, I saw the blur of many bodies running my way. The rest of my women, save for Aaron and Ashla, rushed over to us, and each of the gorgeous mages wore slacked-jawed expressions of horror as they stared up at the darkened sky.
"Naka!"
Nia breathed as her already porcelain skin blanched even further.
"What the fuck?"
Layla trembled, and the petite mage wrapped her arms around herself.
"Griffy, what's going on? Are those the same tentacles that were moving around on the moon?"
Ashla wondered as she bit down on her lusciously full lower lip.
"Yes,"
I confirmed as Arwen helped me rise from my place on the ground.
It appears it successfully latched onto the planet after all.
The demon monster is even stronger than before,
Freya whispered as she threaded her fingers through Syra's for comfort.
Griff, how did this happen?
Syra asked. The umber-skinned summoner looked as if she was going to pass out, and I watched her familiar, a tiny dragon named Kalon, poke her head out from underneath the mage's nest of midnight black hair, and then retreat immediately after a glimpse at the tentacles.
I don't know, I admitted. Though if I had to guess, I'd say Azraneath was finally successful with its mission.
Azraneath?
Syra interrupted me before I could finish my sentence, and her eyebrows knitted together in confusion.
Who is Azraneath? That's the word you found written on the dungeon wall, is it not?
Arwen frowned.
The one scribed in human blood.
It is, I confirmed.
Maker, now that it's attached to the planet, it will be able to feed at an even more alarming rate.
Arwen sighed, and she bit down on her lower lip as she glanced up at the moon.
Yeah,
I managed to choke out, and silence hung in the air as my women struggled to find the right words to say. Maker, was there anything we could say in this situation? An ancient parasitic being had awakened and attached its tentacles to our world. It had every intention of destroying us, and I had no clue how to stop it. I soon became aware of wetness above my lower lip. I opened my eyes, and when I wiped it away, a bright streak of vermilion sat across the top of my hand, and my eyes widened. I was having a nosebleed. I peered around at the rest of my women and realized they'd all come to the same discovery. Each of the mages peered around at each other, and then at me with fear in their eyes. Nosebleeds were usually an indication of mana exhaustion, but something told me this was different. My skin suddenly felt itchy and rashy, and I remembered the air had become a lot more toxic than before.
Griffy!
Layla squeaked as she tried to plug up her leaking nose. I rushed over to her and wrapped my arm around her.
We need to get back inside, now, I insisted to the rest of the group. I completely forgot about the gas masks, and it's obvious things are even more toxic out here than before. Let's go before it gets worse.
My women let out sounds of agreement, and together we hustled up the lawn and then the circular drive. I hastened my pace as the blood continued to spill down my face, and when my lips parted slightly, a metallic taste settled on my tongue. I'd had my fair share of nosebleeds, and even suffered blood coming out of my ears, but I'd never experienced one this bad before. My head swam with dizziness, and my skin was crawling with static electricity. We all filtered in through the front door, and the frantic looks in my wives' and girlfriends' eyes scared me more than anything I'd seen out there. I practically slammed the front door behind me. And in that moment, I didn't even care about the amount of noise we were making at this hour.
Is everyone okay? I demanded as I turned around and studied my women.
Everything itches,
Layla whimpered as she scratched at her reddened arms.
This is even worse than a sunburn. Don't scratch at it,
Arwen advised the petite summoner in a professional tone.
The last thing you need is for whatever is on top of your skin to get in deeper. That's easier said than done,
Syra sighed as a shiver ran down her spine.
My skin has never felt so irritated before. I feel like my bones are burning. Me too.
Nia wiped her hand across her face, and a ping of fear ran through me, as a streak of blood glimmered across her high cheekbone.
Arwen, is there anything we can do?
I asked as I struggled to keep from scratching at my own arms.
This isn't mana exhaustion.
No, but it is some form of magical irritation,
the red-headed healer said.
The demon's tentacles seem to have released some type of gas or microscopic spores into the air that agitates the skin and lungs. In regards to the topical rash, we need to treat this as we would any type of outside irritant like poison ivy or worse. Everyone needs to head upstairs as fast as possible and strip out of their clothes. I don't know if the toxins in the air can linger on fabric, but I'd rather not risk the chance. Good idea.
Nia nodded at the professor.
We should probably go bathe as well,
Arwen advised the group.
Or at least rinse off in the shower. I have some bath materials infused with healing magic that should help get anything that might be lingering. I developed it a while ago, not exactly for this purpose, but I figured it would be a good thing to have around, especially with all of the danger we find ourselves in. Once we're all cleaned up and in dry clothing, I can pass around some mana potions for an extra kick.
Perfect, I replied, and I gave my crimson-haired wife the most grateful smile I could manage. Good thinking, Arwen. We'd be lost without you.
It's what I do.
Arwen shrugged. Her face was as humble as usual, and it made me want to wrap my arms around the mage and squeeze her as tight as my arms would allow. Arwen was one of the kindest and most intelligent mages I knew, and her resourcefulness had helped us more times than not. Everyone head upstairs, I announced. There's no time to lose.
I'll stop by my room and gather the materials,
Arwen decided.
The rest of you go ahead and start without me. Cast your soiled clothes aside and get under the water immediately. Crank the faucet to the warmest setting, or at least as warm as you can handle. Just how I like it anyways,
Syra chuckled. After that, we made our way upstairs and piled into the largest of the mansion's many bathrooms. The one we all spilled into was large enough for all of us to be comfortable, and once I stepped foot onto the marble floor, I stripped out of my clothes and threw them to the ground as if they were on fire. The rest of my women followed suit and tossed their garments and shoes into a huge pile. To my surprise, each of my lover's skin had a slightly red, irritated sheen, and it took everything not to panic. I trusted whatever Arwen was going to give us. Her potions and balms had yet to fail us, so I knew we would all be better in no time. I crossed over to the multi-person shower and turned each of the faucets to their hottest setting. As steam began to fill the space, I peered out at my gorgeous naked women and ushered them over. Come on, everyone, I said, and my women wasted no time. I admired each of my lover's perfect figures, and each of the mages blushed as they realized how smitten I was with them.
Focus, Griff,
Syra teased me with heavy-lidded chocolate eyes.
We have more pressing matters to attend to.
You say that as if you don't love the attention. I raised an eyebrow.
You know I love it.
My curly-haired wife winked at me.
I'd just rather focus on getting this poisonous stuff off us first. Nothing about making out with a rash sounds appealing.
Ew!
Layla concurred, and all of us broke into laughter. Despite the dense and scary conditions and the sorry state of our bodies, it was nice to share a moment of mirth. We all stood under the showerheads, and when the hot water surged over me, I almost felt as if my skin was being melted off. Even though it hurt, I accepted the pain and allowed the streaming water to wash over me.
This feels a little better at least,
Freya sighed. The Hawk Princess tilted her head back and ran her hands through her dark golden hair, and I admired the way the water cascaded down her lithe body.
It should feel even nicer in just a moment,
Arwen's voice called out. And moments later, the naked healer walked into the shower area holding a large bottle filled with a sage green liquid.
Now, everyone hold out your hands.
The rest of the women, and myself, cupped our hands together just as instructed, and Arwen distributed a pump or two of the green liquid into each of our outstretched hands. When the buxom mage came to me, the pleasant scent of mint and some other herb wafted in my direction.
That smells nice, I noted, and after I worked the soap into a lather, I began to rub it into the most affected parts of my body, and a sigh of relief rose up from my chest.
Arwen, you're a lifesaver,
Layla sighed as she scrubbed herself down.
Seriously, Arwen, this is amazing,
Nia agreed with the petite mage.
I'm glad it's working.
Arwen smiled at the pair. And then the room fell silent as we all continued to clean ourselves. I was surprised by how well the magic-enhanced soap managed to heal my wounds, and as I inhaled the cooling scent, the unpleasant metallic odor of my nosebleed faded completely. It didn't take us long to finish up, and once we toweled off, I was suddenly reminded of the entire reason we'd had to shower in the first place. We were healed up for now, but the impending doom of the demon's enchantment snuck up on me and brought back the lump in my throat. "We need to get new gear on and start coming up with a game plan," I announced as my women dried off. "There's still a lot I need to say about the dream I had, and we're going to need to get in contact with the headmaster and the Grand Mage."
"I can attend to it after I've passed out some mana potions to everyone,"
Arwen announced, and before I could protest, she held a finger aloft.
"I'm usually the one who handles the matters of communication, so don't tell me I've done enough already."
"You know me too well," I managed to laugh, and my wife's lips curled into a smirk.
"I'm going to see if Aaron and Ashla are awake,"
Syra decided.
"I'm sure they are, but I want to be certain. I will check on Vala,"
Freya chimed in as she wrung out her mane of hair.
"She sleeps quite soundly, so I doubt she's heard any of the commotion."
"Wait, has anyone heard from Kristen?" I asked, and my posture stiffened as I realized I hadn't run into my aunt this evening.
"I think she's off with the headmaster,"
Nia answered me, and her cheeks flushed a pretty rose color as she avoided eye contact with me. "That's more than I wanted to know," I grimaced as I understood what the ashen-haired multi-elementalist was implying. While I was happy Kristen had recently forged a relationship with Headmaster Sleet, I still wasn't comfortable knowing about their more intimate affairs.
"At least we know they're safe,"
Nia pointed out.
"While it would be nice to have her around, she's probably forging a plan with the higher-up officials as we speak."
As if on cue, the faint sound of sirens could be heard in the distance, and a chill ran up my spine. Much like the alarm we'd heard when Varlay had been attacked by the Gandor, this sound was unlike any other I'd heard in all the time I'd resided in the Enclave. But these were unheard-of circumstances.
"That should help keep the citizens indoors,"
Arwen assessed as her eyes darted over to the window.
"If I'm not mistaken, that sounds like a modified version of the alarm meant for staying out of the streets."
"Hopefully it applies to the Academy as well," I said. "The last thing any of the mages need is to be outdoors right now. We were outside only for a few minutes. I can only imagine what kind of damage those toxins could cause with long-term exposure."
"Fuck, that's true."
Syra shook her head back and forth. "Everyone meet me down in the living room when you're ready," I said. "Nia, Layla, would you mind coming with me to check on the kids once you've dressed?"
"Yes, I was going to make that suggestion as well,"
my wife agreed with me.
"Same,"
Layla said, and I could see a tinge of worry fall over her elfin features.
"I'm worried about Daphne and the others. The alarms probably woke them up. I think we have some spare tonics lying around from the last time Meriden and Maelor came to watch the children,"
Arwen remembered. "Has Maelor gotten back from wherever Sleet sent him?" I wondered. I hadn't heard from my adoptive father in a long time, and though I'd been incredibly sidetracked and busy since the moon first shifted, the older summoner had been in the back of my mind the entire time.
"He sent word while you were in the Shadowscape with the Arkans,"
Nia assured me.
"He returned from his mission a while ago, and he's been assisting Meriden in the infirmary. They've been staying at the Academy this entire time. I promise, Griff, he's perfectly safe."
"Good," I replied, and relief flooded through me. "I hope he doesn't think I've forgotten him."
"He knows you haven't,"
Syra promised me.
"The old man might be crotchety, but he's proud of everything you've done. You could never let him down."
With my women's reassurances in mind, we all parted ways to do what we needed to do. "Everyone meet down in the living room once you're ready," I advised the group before I headed down to the second floor. "But don't take too long." My women nodded, and then I headed to my room. I got ready at record speed, and as I sorted through a list of tasks in my head and tried to organize my thoughts, I suddenly became aware of the tickling sensation in my head.
"Boss?"
The voice of my familiar suddenly filled my mind.
"What's going on? I can tell you're stressed out, and you've got me a little worried. Can I come out of my crystal?"
Of course, I replied, and I walked over to the dresser where I'd left my bandolier. Then I reached into the belt, retrieved the essence crystal of my familiar, and crushed it in my hand. Plumes of blue-black smoke filled the room, and when they cleared, the tawny-furred face of my saber-toothed familiar appeared. The cat-like monster's yellow eyes studied me with concern as he took on the size of a mountain lion.
"It's the demon thingy, isn't it?"
he asked me. "Yes," I confirmed. "The situation has escalated pretty quickly. We've got to come up with a battle strategy fast, and I'm a little worried about it. The history book mentioned the early mages managed to get up to the moon via the demon's tentacles, but it hasn't given any explanation as to how they did it."
"We have to go to the moon?"
Dio reiterated, and the saber-tooth's jaw fell open.
"Oh boy, that's pretty intense, boss. How are we going to get all the way up there?"
"That's a great question," I sighed, and I ran a hand through my still damp hair. Dio trotted over to me, and he gently nudged his fuzzy head against my leg affectionately.
"We'll figure it out,"
the cat monster said in a gentle voice.
"You always do, Griff, and I'll be right by your side. We're badasses, remember?"
"Thanks, buddy," I said, and I bent down to pet the top of my summon's head. As Dio's purrs reverberated throughout the room, my body relaxed. My familiar knew just the right way to calm me down and remind me of my capabilities. I was strong, and I needed to remain that way for myself, my family, and friends, and the rest of the realm. Just as I managed to get a grip on my emotions, I felt a stabbing sensation in the back of my head that nearly sent me to the ground.
Fuck!
I groaned as my hands flew to my head.
"Boss?"
Dio exclaimed.
"What's going on?"
"I don't know," I replied, and then a chorus of voices started speaking out at the exact same time, which resulted in a dissonant symphony of feminine cries.
"Griff, what's happening?"
Utuni demanded in a frantic voice.
"Master, what's happening?"
Fi repeated.
"I can feel something is wrong."
"Please, make it stop,"
Keela pleaded with me.
"Please, I'll do anything if you help turn the volume down."
"Make what stop?" I demanded as the sound of the Arkan's cries filled my mind. "The alarm sound? Listen, I know it's blaring, but it's essential right now."
"Not the alarm,"
Karth cut me off in a surprisingly sharp tone.
"The voice. Please, I can hardly get it out of my mind."
"The voice?" I repeated back to the Horned Arkan as I failed to understand what she was saying.
"It's in my head,"
Miralee chimed in.
"Please get it out.
Now that the tentacles have attached, we're all doomed,"
Viopa moaned. "We're not doomed." I attempted to soothe the monster goddesses, but my words seemed to hold no bearing on them.
"Please, Griff,"
Sarah's voice cut through the sound of sobs.
"Please make it stop. For the sake of both of us and our unborn child, you must find a way to shut that thing out. Surely you must have a way to block it."
"It's in here with us,"
Keela interjected.
"I can feel it crawling around, and they're trying to sway my mind once more. Griff, please. I don't want to succumb. I'm faithful to you and only you."
I froze in place as the weight of the skeletal Arkan's words settled in my mind. Back before I'd captured all 9 of the monster goddesses, they'd heard Azraneath's voice in their heads urging them to carry out his will. Karth, Huna, and Keela in particular had heard the demon's calls the loudest, and along with Zan, they'd crafted a plan to merge the Shadowscape and the human realm to create one dimension. Thankfully, the plan had never come to fruition. But unfortunately for us, Azraneath had plans to carry out the mission himself. "What is Azraneath saying to you?" I urged them.
"It wants us to help change your mind,"
Keela revealed in a quiet voice.
"Azraneath hopes if we plead with you enough, you'll abandon your Mistral team and take your rightful place as the Beastmaker.
You can tell that thing it can take its job offer and stick it up its tentacled ass. I growled. Asraneath is not my master, nor is it yours. And it cannot command you as it attempted to do before. You are all mine. And as long as you're under my control, I won't allow the demon to pull anything.
Please, don't force me to speak with him.
The skeletal Arkan whispered.
Please, master.
I hadn't expected the Arkan to take the comment seriously, and her tone only reinforced the fear she still had toward the demon. When she'd spoken of the thing before, back when we'd first surveyed it atop the moon, she'd displayed no fear. But from the moment she pieced together that the voice that formerly resided in her mind belonged to the same entity, she'd changed her attitude entirely. You have to fight it, I urged the goddesses as their sounds of pain increased in volume. You're so much stronger.
No, we're not,
Karth said.
The demon has told us as much. All we can do is join its side, otherwise.
It's going to kill us all,
Mira Lee shouted.
Please, master, make it all stop.
Zan, Hona, are you there? I called out to the two elder Arkans. The pair were the calmest and most grounded of all the goddesses, and though I trusted Sarah the most, I knew the other two would be able to reassure the rest of their sisters in a way she couldn't.
Griff, please.
Zan finally sniffled.
I hear it too.
It hurts so badly,
Huna whispered.
I can feel the demon inside of my head, and it's clawing at me.
What do I do? I pleaded as my head pounded. My blood ran cold in my body, and I had to steady myself against the wall to keep from falling over. The mounting pressure that settled over my limbs was almost unbearable, and my arms began to shake.
Just make it stop!
Sarah insisted.
How?
I practically shouted as I threw my hands over my ears. No matter how hard I tried to lock the monster goddesses away, I couldn't. I was losing control over them, and I feared what would happen if I didn't get them to calm down and obey my instructions.
Griff?
I heard Nia's voice call out. And then, moments later, the ashen-haired elementalist rushed into my room.
Griff, what's going on?
The Arkans, I explained through gritted teeth. Apparently, Asraneath is trying to infiltrate their minds just as it did before they joined our side.
You look like you're about to lose consciousness,
Nia replied, and her piercing blue eyes were as wide as saucers as they trailed up and down my body.
I'm going to help you over to the bed, okay?
I nodded lightly, and my wife wrapped her arms around me and helped me over to the bed. I carefully sat down, and then Nia helped me swing my legs over and settle into a lying position. Once I was situated against the pillow, she moved around to the other side of the bed and sat down beside me. Meanwhile, the Arkan's cries switched from verbal to nonverbal, and my head continued to pound. I was so overwhelmed, I could hardly tell when Nia grabbed my hand, and my wife immediately took notice.
Can you think of a way to calm them?
She wondered as her eyebrows creased together. I don't know, I admitted. I've attempted to lock them away, but it didn't work. Usually I only have issues with this when I'm overwhelmed, but they've never seemed this frantic before. Nia, I feel like my head is going to implode in on itself.
Oh, Griff,
the beautiful maid soothed me, and she smoothed my hair from my face. I hadn't been aware of the sweat that coated my forehead like a veil, but I felt clammy as Nia touched my skin. Oh, Maker, this is awful, I groaned as another pang ran through my head.
I have an idea.
Nia sat up straighter.
Let me go grab Arwen. And in the meantime, try to relax. I know it's hard to keep them out of your head, but try to focus on something else.
Okay, I agreed in a reluctant tone. I suppose I can try.
I'll be right back,
Nia assured me. And after she planted a kiss on my cheek, she quickly got up out of the bed and then hastily headed out of the room. I closed my eyes and allowed myself to sink further back into the pillow. Despite the raging Arkans in my head, I needed to try and take it easy. Maybe if I managed to remain calm, the monster goddesses would soon follow, and I could regain my control over them. I closed my eyes and focused on the darkness behind my eyelids, and after a while, I heard footsteps in the room. I opened my eyes again to see Nia had returned with Arwen in tow, and the professor's eyes immediately widened as she took in the sight of me laying on the bed.
"Griff," she sighed. "No offense to you, my love, but you look terrible."
"No offense taken," I assured her as I pinched the bridge of my nose between my thumb and index finger. "Trust me, I feel as terrible as I probably look."
"Nia told me the Arkans are overwhelming you," she said. "I know my magic has to do with healing the body, but I'm wondering if I could use it on your mind as well. Mental health is just another facet of physical health, so I see no reason why I couldn't try."
"Arwen, are you sure?" I asked. "Not that I don't think you have the capability, but shutting out goddesses is probably going to take a good amount of mana."
"I'm feeling perfectly fine," the crimson-haired professor insisted. "And besides, I'll simply drink down a mana potion or two immediately after. Please, Griff, allow me to try to ease some of your pain."
I deliberated for a moment or two, and ultimately decided it would be best for all involved if Arwen at least attempted. "Okay," I agreed, "if you think it could help." Arwen took a seat on the bed next to me and then took my hands in hers. I admired the coolness of her soft skin as she threaded her fingers through mine, and immediately, I was calmer than I'd felt prior. Dio hopped up onto the bed as well, and he spread out across my feet like a pet dog. He lowered his tawny furred head down, and the warmth it gave me actually helped.
"Now, take a deep breath," Arwen advised me,
and I followed her instructions and inhaled as deeply as I could. My red-headed wife closed her eyes, and suddenly, I sensed something in the back of my head, almost like a rush of cool air. It slowly began to move in, almost like a window had been opened onto an early autumn day. As Arwen's healing magic began to spread through my mind, the screams and cries of the Arkans quieted until there was nothing but silence. I relished in the lack of the noise, and the headache that bloomed behind my eyes was slowly fading away. Arwen continued to squeeze my hands, and I soon felt like my thoughts had gained coherency again. Strength began to return to me, and with it came an overwhelming sense of determination. How dare Azranea threaten the Arkans? The monster goddesses were mine in every possible way, and as their master, I wouldn't allow anyone to threaten, harm, or attempt to turn them against me. So my first act of business was to close my eyes and focus on putting the Arkans back in their cells. I concentrated on each of the 9 goddesses and imagined placing them back in their separate sections in my head. The Arkans went without argument, and once I could feel they were all properly put away, I made sure to lock them away and tighten the wards around them with as much strength as I could muster. Once they were secure, I felt around the rest of my consciousness and tried to sense Azraneath. The demon had managed to infiltrate my head, and while it wasn't making itself known now, I knew it was still lingering around somewhere, waiting for me to retreat so it could start pushing again. That wasn't going to happen. I took another long breath, and on the exhale, I sharpened my focus. Then, I reached out to every corner of my mind until I began to detect something that seemed amiss. It was cold, but not in the same refreshing way Arwen's healing magic felt. This cold was intense, more like frostbite, and I followed the trail until I found the point it was seeping in from. Using all of my strength, I sent a magical force field out around the walls of my consciousness, and my head pounded a bit as I focused on driving out the demon's presence. The cold energy tried to fight back, but with Arwen's magic fortifying me by the second, I was able to push harder, and soon, the feeling was completely gone. I waited a moment or two, and then I reached out to the goddesses to make sure as Renaeth was gone. "Is everything okay?" I asked the Arkans.
"Yes,"
Mira Lee yowled.
"Hoggriff, thank you. It's finally gone."
"I feel like I have my mind to myself again,"
Keela sighed dreamily. "Good," I said. "I'm glad you're feeling better."
"I'm sorry for losing control, Griff,"
Karth apologized, much to my surprise.
"I was so upset about the demon's voice that I let it overwhelm me. I didn't mean to fall into hysterics."
"That's perfectly understandable," I assured the Horned Goddess. "I don't blame you at all. What matters is Azraneath can't get back in here ever again. And if it tries, I'll drive it out again. Okay?"
"Thank you, Master,"
Fi said.
"We don't deserve you."
"I only wish I was out there so I could thank you properly, Master,"
the skeletal Arkan purred. "Perhaps we could take a rain check on that," I smirked. And after I double-checked the goddess's wards, I returned my attention back to my lovers in the physical world.
"Did it work?"
Arwen asked me, and I could sense Nia staring at me without even looking over at her.
"Did the Arkans settle?"
"Yes," I confirmed, and Dio perked up at the sound. His little bobbed tail wagged behind him, and he unleashed a round of contented purrs that made my legs vibrate.
"Oh, thank the Maker,"
Nia sighed, and the tension in her shoulders fell away. Even though I'd banished Azraneath from my mind, I could still feel a soft pounding, almost like the demon was trying to push through a door to get in, but the sensation wasn't unmanageable. I didn't want to worry my lovers too greatly, so I chose to leave that information to myself for now. "Thank you," I said to Arwen gratefully. "That helped more than I could ever express, and I owe you big time."
"Of course, my husband."
The healer mage squeezed my hand lightly.
"Now, take a few more moments to gather yourself. I'm going to head downstairs and get word to the headmaster and the Grand Mage. I'm sure they've already gotten a glimpse at the sky, but in the event they haven't, we'll need to touch base with them."
"Thanks, Arwen," I said again. And I rested my other hand on top of hers. "I'll be down in just a minute."
"Take the time you need,"
the crimson-haired healer mage insisted in a firm tone.
"We can't do anything until we hear back from them anyway. You may as well relax."
"Easier said than done," I sighed.
"Griff, you won't be much use to us if you're all beaten up,"
Nia reminded me, and then she rose up from the bed and crossed over to my desk. An empty glass sat on top, and after the elementalist closed her eyes, the cup filled itself with water. "That was a neat trick," I remarked.
"It's a small one, but one I use pretty often when I don't want to go all the way downstairs for a drink of water,"
Nia chuckled as she passed the glass over to me.
"I know that's lazy, but it works."
"Sounds like a good idea to me," I admitted, and then I took a long sip of the water. Nia had made it especially cold, and the liquid felt nice as it streamed down my throat. I gulped it down faster than intended, and once the glass was empty, I passed it to Nia, and the elementalist filled it once again.
"Drink,"
she urged me.
"You could stand to be more hydrated."
"Yes, ma'am," I mock-saluted her, and my wife rolled her sapphire eyes playfully. I dutifully chugged down some more water, but before Nia could refill it for a third time, I raised my hand and my eyebrows. She lowered her hand, and for a second I was certain she was going to argue the point. But instead, she placed the glass back on the desk.
"I'll leave you both to it,"
Arwen declared, and then she carefully eased herself out of the bed and headed out the door. I watched the redhead saunter away, and then I turned to Nia. Though her stance had relaxed further, I could still see flares of worry in her eyes. "I'm okay, Nia," I assured her, but the elementalist didn't seem swayed.
"That was really scary, Griff,"
she whispered, and she leaned up against my desk.
I've never seen you like that before, and I didn't know how to make things better. This demon is new territory, and I feel out of my..."
"Element," I finished, and it earned me a smirk and an eye roll.
Yes,
Nia laughed.
Not my best choice of phrasing.
It's fitting, I chuckled, and then the seriousness returned to the room. Nia, you got me the help I needed. It was resourceful of you to think of Arwen's healing abilities, and I appreciate your quick thinking.
I just wish I could have done more,
my wife sighed.
Griff, do you think Azraneath will attempt that move again?
I honestly don't know, I admitted.
Are you ready to check on the children?
She asked me once I swung my legs over the edge of the bed and planted my feet on the ground. Yes, I confirmed. I think seeing them will help ease my nerves.
Layla was up there last I checked, but I'm sure she could use some more hands.
Nia agreed with me.
And besides, I've been worried about the twins since I first got a glimpse of the tentacles.
Then let's run up and check on them, and then attend to business, I decided as I stood up slowly. We can't do anything until we hear from Sleet and your father anyway, so let's make sure our babies are okay. Nia held her hand out to me, and I accepted it gratefully. I took slow, cautious steps out of the door, and once I was sure my legs were steady, we started to head toward the stairs once more, with Dio close behind us. It wasn't often that I complained about the sheer size of the house, but after running up and down the stairs so often tonight, I was definitely wishing there was some other way to get to the various floors. It was almost enough to make me want to borrow the abilities from one of my flying monsters, but the time and mana wasn't worth the effort, no matter how tempting. When Nia, Dio, and I walked into the nursery, we were immediately met by Aaron and Layla holding their fingers to their mouths to quiet us. Nia and I nodded in unison and took long, quiet strides toward the cribs. To my comfort and relief, all of our babies were fast asleep, and they all wore similar smiles, as if they hadn't heard an alarm or disruption at all. I shook my head in disbelief, and as I raised my eyes to the pair of mages for an explanation, Aaron indicated her head over to the changing table where a large bottle of tonic and a few droppers rested. Ah, so that's why the kids were practically knocked out. After we stared down at the sleeping babies for a few minutes, I gave my children a silent goodbye, and my women and I slowly started to leave the room. Dio lingered by the cribs, and I tried to usher him over to us, but the cat monster perked up.
Griff, I can keep an eye on the cubs, my familiar proposed. I really don't mind. And besides, it might grant you some peace while you make plans with the others.
The saber-tooth tilted his head to the side as I considered the idea for a moment, and when I nodded in agreement, his little bobbed tail wagged again. It was adorable how much Dio loved my children, and it did make me feel better to have someone with them. Dio would keep them safe. Aaron, Nia, and Layla gave me curious looks, but when my familiar laid down beside the cribs, they immediately understood. I gave my monster a thankful smile, and then we continued over to the door. Aaron took care to close it quietly behind her, and the mages and I continued down the corridor. We continued our silence, and didn't utter a single word until we reached the landing.
So, the tentacles,
Aaron finally brought up, and the mimic tugged at a lock of her shoulder-length orange hair nervously.
What are we going to do?
That seems to be the question of the evening, I replied. Arwen is currently trying to contact Sleet, and we'll form a plan from there. Until then, I want everyone to come to the living room so I can explain the dream I had. It's kind of a doozy, and I think everyone needs to hear about it.
That sounds serious,
Aaron assessed.
Well, the children should be all right for quite some time. They're well dosed with tonic, so I doubt they'll be waking up anytime soon. I don't particularly like giving them supplements like that, but tonight it seemed absolutely necessary.
Thanks for handling that, I replied to the pilot, and then I turned to Layla. You too, Layla. I'm sorry we weren't up there to help, but there was another incident that held us up.
We're their parents as well, Griffey,
Layla smiled at me.
Aaron and I were more than capable of passing out medicine to the babies.
Still, I appreciate you doing that, I said. Now, let's head down. I don't know if anyone else is down there yet, but I don't want to keep them waiting. We all filed down toward the living room. But before we could breach the doorway to the kitchen, I heard someone clear their throat.
Griff.
Arwen's voice carried from the entryway. I stopped in my tracks and turned around to face the crimson-haired professor. Her tone was more serious than usual, so I knew something was up.
What is it?
I asked her. Is everything all right? Did you manage to get a hold of Sleet and the Grand Mage?
It seems they've already beat us to the punch,
Arwen said vaguely, and she crossed over to where Nia, Layla, Aaron, and I stood.
Headmaster Sleet and the Grand Mage have requested a meeting with all of the Guardians, and they sounded urgent.